when it comes to one-year-old Isaiah.
Sean.
You are not the father.
I told you, Maury, my pullout game was strong. I told you before the show. How are you going to try to pin a straight eye baby on me? I got a lazy eye. That ain't my baby. I met this hoe at Petty Drafts Night. Never hook up with a chick named Bertha. I'm out of here, Maury. Fuck this. I only came for the TV credits.
All units be advised, this is episode 4 of the Big Homie Podcast. Over. Also be advised, when this song comes on, I hope you're 12 cocktails deep, ready to fuck shit up. Over.
Still Snoop Dogg and D.I.
Guess who's back?
Still. Still doing that shit, Andre?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Check me out. It's still Dre Day. AK. Though I've grown a lot, can't keep it home a lot.
Oh, yeah. That was the Super Bowl halftime show last night. I'm sparking one up right now for the West Coast. Hotbox in the Mandalay Bay.
They want to know if he still got it. They say rap's changed. They want to know how I feel about it.
When you hear people doing too many pulls, like, that means that they're running low on weed. They got to try to keep making it go down so you get all of it in the blood system. You gotta crawl before you walk. I'm gonna fuck around, burn my new bike. I gotta watch out. Super Bowl was awesome. Obviously, Rams won. But you know what? The real winners was not a Dre, Snoop Dogg, 50 Cent, Mary J. Blige, and Eminem. All I heard were tracks popping. I was in the Harris Sports Book. I tried to record down there later in this episode. I'd say that I am going to be recording down there, and I forgot to take the shit with me, so we didn't really have a chance to do that. Last day in Vegas, driving to L.A. today with my lady. We're going to L.A. I've had a storage unit. I'm not proud to say this, guys. I am not proud of this. I got a storage unit in 2015, and, well, I still got the goddamn storage unit. It started off at $70 a month. Now we're up around $1.90 a month. It's 2022. Do the math on that, guys. Even at $150 a month since 2015. I'm getting rid of that storage unit today, though. I've had enough of paying that bill. Life's been good the last few years, so I said, ah, fuck it. I didn't even really realize, you know, when $1.90 just pops out. But now your boy realizes it. And it's over, storage unit. You've taken me to the cleaners enough, U-Haul. How about you eat a bowl of shit at U-Haul? Or whatever storage this company is, I'll know. I'll find out. Had a great time this weekend, ACL, filming a new show called Road to Airmail City. Got to chop it up with a bunch of these top pros. Got to hang out and do some interviews with David Lim from SWAT. I got to throw some bags. Late Saturday, I started to really hit my stride. But then we had to keep working, so I really couldn't get as many games as I wanted. Doesn't it make you upset when you just can't? Like, if I could just be a pro, I don't got to worry about the media side. I could just interview myself. Hi, Sean, you're a top pro. Hit us with some tips, bro. Then I'll give myself some tips on camera. But I'm not that good yet, so I can only play in between shooting. Went and watched the Super Bowl with my lady, my boy Alex from LB Jerky Co., his dad, Al. We went to Harrah's sports book, just laid up. You got to buy the chairs, but at least if you gamble and stuff, they're giving you a ton of drink tickets. So we didn't buy one drink the entire night, at least. I did hit on the coin toss for a 50 spot. I was too late to get my lady's. My lady came over a little bit late. She said, I want to bet on something. So then I went to go bet, and it was too late for prop bets. I felt bad because our other bets, we both bet Cincinnati, took big L's on the money line. Almost, though. So now we're packing up, going to Los Angeles. We did have a really nice dinner one evening. We went and went to Sushi Samba. That was nice. My buddy Mario and his wife, Cinnamon, linked up. Is it linked, joined, met? Is there an age group of when you can say which? Or is it just an attitude and mentality? I don't know. We met them there. That's normally what I'd say. But I just smoked a joint and I'm feeling pretty good. So for some reason the word linked popped out of my mouth. I got that early congestion going. I got problems. I probably need to go to like a sinus specialist. I'm pretty sure I need to go to a sinus specialist. It's out of goddamn control. Every day. I think my lady probably says bless you about 10 times before noon every day minimum. I got to tell her, you don't have to say that, babe. I know you that you want the Lord to bless me when I do sneeze. Which, fun little fact, I don't know if you guys know this, but the reason that people say God bless you when you sneeze is because it's in the olden days, at a time before ourselves, it was assumed that your heart stopped when you sneezed. So people would always think that you could die at any moment when you sneeze. So they were like, God bless you, bro. Please do not go away yet with a sneeze like that. Your heart stopped. Are you okay? God bless you, bro. Like, that was more of what it was now. You know, it's routine. It is polite. But I sneeze way too much, and I understand that. I can almost feel the frustration from others. Like, man, this motherfucker needs to go see some doctor that focuses on nasal issues. What's his deal, bro? Super Bowl in Vegas is amazing. We were calling places. We called. I tweeted out, you know, what is the best spots to watch a Super Bowl? Everybody was saying Circa, Swim Club, all this. We called up. Let's get a price breakdown here on the Super Bowl events there at Circa Swim Club or whatever in Vegas. I think on Fremont Street. All right, let's just start with the basics. Just to get in the door and walk around with your thumb up your ass and no seat, $175. You haven't bought a drink, you can't even sit down, but here's $175. Thanks for letting me in, guys. I really appreciate you guys doing me a service and only charging me $175 to come stand inside here. Oh, I have a sciatic nerve problem, but fuck that. I'll stand for 12 hours. And buy $13 beers. That sounds like a damn good time. And I'm going to say right now, to the millions of listeners of this podcast, if you paid $175, if you happen to be in Vegas and you went over to the swim club at the Circa, I don't know if it's swim club Circa, but Circa for sure, and you paid $175 to stand around and drink $13 Coronas or $18 Baca sodas, can you just go ahead and get off this feed? We don't want you in here. This isn't a me choice. This is me and the other listeners looking at you like you're a goddamn moron. Get off our feed. We don't need that type of bad decision making anywhere near us. Okay? Go hang out with other fuckos that make bad decisions because they think it's a good idea. That was just a walk-in cost. I think a booth was $25. No, the table was up 25 hundo. The booths were 6 G's. Oh, the cabana. My lady said the cabanas were 6 G's. The tables were 2,500. But what I read in the bylines and the below in the contract was that they didn't really, it was more of a surprise when you did purchase a $6,000 cabana. Is that a gentleman, after you paid for that cabana, that a large gentleman with a 13-inch penis comes out from behind the cabana and raw dogs your butt for 6 hours? So that was, I mean, you know, depending on what your interests are, I guess it could be a steal. But for some of us, that's not going to fly so well. So either way... I wasn't trying to just go ahead and just take one for the team that hard. And I don't think anybody in the right goddamn mind, unless you're a company and it's no big deal but a tax write-off, or you're a dude that like Bill Gates level shit where if you drop money, it's not worth your time to pick it up, like physically not worth. You get paid so much that you shouldn't even stoop to the levels of picking up the cash off the ground. Then it wouldn't matter, you know? Jesus, bro, 6,000. I'd rather just bet that money on the game. Spread the $6K out across a bunch of different fun bets. I definitely would have put $5,000 probably on the coin toss. I went heads. Way to go, me. What insight and foresight by me. When you got somebody with such level of insight and foresight, you got to ask yourself, why isn't this guy in that field? How is he just winging it with this intelligence? How's nobody picked up this? How come ESPN doesn't have this guy courtside making calls, calling games? I don't know, but here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to get into a little food and bev right now, okay? Today I'm going to be breaking down the potato skin. It's a lot more than meets the eye with the potato skin. I think we overlook it too much. Let's get into that. Support for the Big Homie is brought to you by Manscaped. Who is the best in men's below-the-waist grooming? Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. Manscaped recently launched the Ultimate Men's Hygiene Bundle, guys. We're talking about the performance package. Join over 4 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with this exclusive offer just for you guys. Listen, there's rumblings going on that a lot of people that listen to my podcast have hairy ass nuts. And it's time to stop that, guys. It's a new year. It's a new you. Right now, get 20% off and free worldwide shipping with the code BIGHOMIE, bro, at manscaped.com. And if my math is correct, that's about 8 million sets of nuts, guys. Okay? Look, before Manscaped came around, there was a time in my life where I suffered. I suffered in silence. Because I have a lazy eye and I would be trying to trim my nuts and I'd nick myself. And I would nick myself on a regular basis. My friends started calling me the Big Nick. And not because my name was Nicholas and they were calling me Nick for short, it's because I had nicked my balls so much and I walked funny for a while. I had a little diaper that I used to put around my nuts because for all the nicks. But luckily, I got my hands on the Performance Package 4.0 by Manscaped. It's arrived, and oh man, is it a game changer. Inside this package, you're going to find their Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer. We're talking Weed Whacker, ear and nose hair trimmer, Crop Preserver ball deodorant, Crop Reviver toner, Performance Boxer briefs, and a travel bag to hold all your goodies. Hello? That's a steal, bro. I mean, look, the Lawnmower 4.0, this trimmer is the future of grooming and, dare I say, the greatest ball trimmer ever. Their fourth generation trimmer features a cutting edge ceramic blade to reduce grooming accidents thanks to their advanced skin-safe technology. Come on, what more do you want? Okay, the Lawnmower 4.0 is waterproof and also has a 400K LED spotlight you need because you need a more precise shave, okay? You don't see people spelunking without stuff like a headlamp, so why would you be spelunking on your nuts without a headlamp? Especially when you know, even though top technology, you still want to have a clear picture of what you're up to. The Crop Preserver Ball Deodorant and Crop Reviver Ball Toner will change the way you approach your hygiene routine. Trust me, when I say this, your balls will be thankful. Manscaped's even throwing in two free gifts in their Performance Package 4.0. That's the Manscaped Boxers and the Shed Travel Bag, guys. The Shed Travel Bag. Bring your comfort and boxers to another level. It's time to take care of yourself, so go to manscaped.com right now. Get 20% off and free shipping with promo code BIGHOMIE. That's me. One more time, that's 20% off and free shipping with promo code BIGHOMIE at manscaped.com. 20% off, guys. Get the hookup right now. Your balls will thank you for it. I'll tell you that much. I'll tell you that much right now. Now let's talk a little bit about some potato skins. I'm not sure potato skins, I feel like they're such a staple in the appetizer game, especially in the sports bar world, but I don't think it crosses over to the house enough. I think French fries get too much love. Let's be honest here. French fries need to calm their shit down. Okay, we get it, French fries. Okay, you're here to stay. You got 40 different versions. You come with every side dish. We know you're the fucking goat, French fries. But let's talk potato skins. I like making potato skins at home. I really, really enjoy making. You got all. I mean, it's not that hard. You know, you're baking potatoes. You know, you hit a little olive oil on the outside, a little salt and pepper maybe. Drop them in the oven for 50 minutes, an hour at like 375. Let them cool down. All right, and then you're going to go ahead and scoop that out. Scoop those potatoes out to the side, though. You can use that. That can be used for mashed potatoes later in the week. I mean, there's unlimited options here with the scooping of the potato insides when you're making the potato skins. So make sure you're keeping those potatoes for another time. Now, obviously, when you get the potato skin and you've got it scooped, it's nice and cool, it's scooped. This is where we got to pop it back in the oven. Put the oven up to about, I don't know, I think maybe let's say 4. I don't know, you got to go 400 plus, you know what I mean? You got to go 450 probably. And then you're going to put those potato skins back in the oven. Put them in there, you know, not long, 5 minutes. Flip them over, another 5 minutes. You want both sides to get good and crisp. Not too crispy, though. You want a crispy outside with a nice, mushy inside. What I think a lot of people overlook when it comes to potato skins, though, you know, they obviously fill it with cheese, you melt it, blah, blah, blah. I think we're stopping short on utilizing a better version of sour cream. What I mean by that is, listen, I'm a sour cream. I like sour cream. I mean, not on everything. I'm very selective with the sour cream. Like, I don't even always use it with potato skins. Sometimes I just use, a lot of times I just go ranch. I'm a horse, okay? I don't need to double down and be a fucking Clydesdale, but I could be a horse and just go ranch. Ranch goes great with potato skins, but also a good sour cream is overlooked. I think what I've looked up on the internet and what I've tried only a couple of times, or I originally found on the internet, was to you know, pizzazz up your sour cream. You know, add a little mayo in there. Throw some lemon juice, some Worcestershire sauce, maybe a little dried, you know, some garlic salt, some dried parsley, a little, you know, maybe put a little flavor in there, a little spice, a little kick, a little cayenne pepper. Go a little paprika in there. You know, mix that sour cream up. Get a little love going with the sour cream. Well, I mean, I think we stop short with sour cream because we've just depended on its unbelievable presence on what it brings to the table currently. No one ever thinks, how can I make something that's already awesome even more awesome? That's how you do it. Just get balls deep in there. Add a little something to your sour cream. Mix that up. Put it back in the refrigerator. Let it cool. You know, you want it to get thicker, like it's a legit sour cream. You don't want a runny sour cream. That's weird. But I think that's what you got to do. I think the move for potato skins to step your recipe up there is to jazz up the sour cream, okay? Obviously, you're going to pop one after you got your potato skins nice and crispy on the outside after a nice little extra 10-minute that bake there, five minutes per side. Pull the skins out. I might even go with a layer of, I don't know if I want to do this layer of sour cream beforehand. No, I'm going to go layer of cheese, pop them back in the oven, let that melt just for a few minutes. Pull it out. I'm going to go with a nice base of that sour cream. Just lay it right there on top, bro. Just a nice spoon and just smooth it over there. Just smooth it on there. And then I'm coming in heavy chives. You know, you can go bacon bits. I would suggest, you know, you could throw a tray of bacon in when you're baking those potatoes. You know, you're going to be baking the potatoes. You got to use the oven. You might as well another rack. Throw some bacon on there. Get a good crispy bacon going. You know what I mean? Pop that out. Punch it all up. I'd say put it in a bag and sock it. Just beat the piss out of the, you know what I mean? Just like come down with the hammer fist and shit on that bacon. Get it good and crumbly. Fresh bacon bits. A flavorful sour cream that you never even thought about. A good crispy outside. Nice melted cheese. All legit fresh, you know, some nice ass fresh bacon bits. Little chives. It's go time. I mean, I'm not even sure ranch should be needed on this one. Whoever you're serving this to, make sure to let them know, hey, Joe, just try the goddamn sour cream. I made a special sour cream for you. Try that before you resort to the same shit you always been doing, my man. You know, those are those little things you want to do, you know, that you want to add. Like I recently learned of a nice little tip in chili. Add some enchilada sauce in there, a little half can of enchilada sauce. Forget about it. Some guy's been winning chili cook-offs all around America with that little move. Shout out Richie O'Toole, big time. I'm a big beans and chili guy. My lady makes a good chili. I haven't made chili for a while because my lady usually she's been the one that's been cranking out on chili night. She goes ham. She has a good recipe. She has added the jalapeno, though, because of me. She didn't realize you get a nice base spice to a chili without being overbearing if you just pop the whole chili in there. And I think that's what she's kind of done in her whole life as far as I'm concerned. I'm kind of like a chili that she didn't realize that I just kind of pop right into your life there, and I'll just spice your shit right up, babe. I'll spice up your life and your chili. Just add a jalapeno. You know, a lot of times I think with cooking, it's the small things that I enjoy, and eating as I go because I'm a horse is one of those small things. It's also another reason why you want to smoke a fat-ass joint before you cook a lot of times. At least take a few puffs, not the whole thing. We don't want you to go to Mars and forget where your kitchen is because that's like light years away. You can't be cooking food if you're light years away on Mars. So don't smoke the whole joint, you know, unless you're a seasoned vet, then do you. That does not, these warnings do not apply to veterans. These warnings apply to rooks. Youngsters learning how it works, learning what dimension they want to smoke themselves into. I like to go ahead and smoke myself into a dimension that I can still function. Some dimensions you can't function. But I like to get a nice few puffs in, you know, maybe crack open a cocktail, make a cocktail of some sort, and just start slowly eating the shit as I cook it. And that's just what this is really about, right? What are we doing? Why are you cooking? Why are you eating? Why are you... You could just do like that one dude, make that weird slop in a bottle and just eat that all the time. But we only have so many joys. And this is one of them. It's having a cocktail, feeling like I'm floating around the sky, you know, and making some food. Also, let's not forget with cooking, you know, it's everything besides flavor. You're also looking for the textures are extremely important, you know. That's really, I think, is one. It's kind of like a moving up in a belt, if you will, like in karate and shit, is when you start to correctly, you know, create the right textures outside, inside, you know, whether it's steaks, you know, you get a good crisp sear with a nice, soft, delicious, you know, inside, juicy, whether it's the potato skin like we've been speaking about. Obviously, when you're going to have a good potato middle, you know, nice soft potato middle, and then you're going to have a nice crisp outside. That's why we popped them back in the oven the second time. Same thing with chicken wings, like we spoke a couple episodes ago. You know, it's a lot of this is just texture. The flavor obviously is going to be there. You're seasoning it. The seasons aren't going to not work. It's not like the seasons can break down, okay? The texture is what's way more technique-ridden, like, you know, technique-wise is where you need to really also continue to focus as new cooks. Because I still ain't shit. I mess up stuff all the time, but you got to keep trying, you know? And you got to commit. Don't be going in and out of the kitchen. Don't be trying to go watch TV and shit and then come back in. You're going to let stuff burn, I'm telling you. Especially if you just ripped a fat-ass bowlerson, guess what's going to happen? 1 minute, 10 minutes feels like 1 minute sometimes. And guess what happens in 10 minutes? Things burn. So just be careful, guys, okay? You don't want to be fucking up your food, man. Okay, and to close out food and beverage here, I thought I'd talk to Peter Griffin and see and tell him and ask him what are his favorite, let's say like a favorite dish that he really enjoys eating on a football Sunday.
Well, he's dishes. On football? Yeah, I don't want a dish. Okay, I want a plate. All right. Okay, got to be wings, okay? Some sort of hot dog, sausage combination even. Burgers. What else? Sausage, hot dog, hamburger, beans, mac and cheese, wings.
What are you drinking?
What the hell am I drinking? I'm drinking Pawtucket beers from the Pawtucket Brewery. And what are you drinking, chef? Do they call you that? Are you even a chef? How come you're not the $20 cook?
It's a good point. It doesn't have the same ring. That's why.
Hi, this is the $20 cook.
See, it doesn't sound so good when you throw it backwards. Are you Fritos and bean dip? How do you like that? I love good hot bean dip with some Fritos.
What am I, Puerto Rican?
That's also very Mexican. I have to dump the Cholula hot sauce into the bean dip when it's hot.
Ew.
With some cheese, too. You never eat cheesy bean dip with hot sauce in it and dip it in with the Fritos?
Chef, I'm white. We don't eat fried beans. Yeah, I gotta go,
Hey, thanks to Peter Griffin for coming on the show. That was pretty sweet. I'll tell you some funny shit. On Twitter, I was posting these shoes, the Just So-Sos, they're called. I always see these shoes on Amazon, right? They look pretty damn cool, actually. I really like the way the shoe looks. They're on Amazon. They're for $45, I think. They're like $40, $45 bucks. And they're called Just So-So. like I don't know who the genius is who came up with this name for these average-ass Amazon shoes. But I've been intrigued by them. I started tweeting about them. Started getting mixed reactions. Some people had them. Some people this and that. People started ordering them. I bet at least 5 people sent me photos of their new Just So-Sos. So I ordered a pair of Just So-Sos. And I call them the Just So-So 5s. Well, let's just say I left them in Vegas. I worked all day Friday with the ACL at the tournament from about 9. I was up and at them by 7:30. We didn't start filming until about 9 something, but I was already in the facility running around at like 8:30, 9. And I was on my feet all day on the cement inside the Mandalay Bay Civic Center there or whatever, event center. And let's just say that on the walk back to the room, my heels had never been on fire to this level. Like, my heels had never been in pain. I suddenly felt, I feel your pain, ladies, when you start rolling those heels or whatever you got to do with all your shoe situation. My heels hurt so bad I wanted a wheelchair. So the Just So-Sos are just no-nos, okay? Those are the no-go So-Sos, bro. We're going no. Now listen, I guess I could have kept them. I didn't want to put stuff in my bag. My girl was like, "Oh, fuck these shoes." I just left them. But I guess I could have kept them and just still kind of rolled around in them. They could probably be good shoes for a couple of, you know, for maybe a couple hours max. But don't be trying to. One dude on Twitter said something about the heels, and I thought he meant the heel of the shoe. But what he meant was that his actual physical heels were busted up, and now I get it. So I just wanted to go ahead and reiterate what was happening on Twitter for anybody that saw that is don't buy the Just So-Sos. I'll tell you what else I had fun with this last week, and that was bringing my new sponsor into the cornhole world, Long Beach Jerky Company, lbjerkyco.com. Make sure you go use promo code TheBigHomie. Get yourself your mitts on some delicious-ass jerky. I'm a spicy teriyaki guy through and through on the 4 flavors. But if you're not a spicy person, do not eat that jerky. Just go with Gramps Original or, at best, cracked pepper, bro. You're not ready for the buffalo wing or the spicy teriyaki. Shit is just too powerful for your little baby body, bro. Stick with the Gramps Original. 20% off lbjerkyco.com with promo code TheBigHomie. And that's me, the big homie, bro. I really enjoyed the Long Beach Jerky Company homie Alex coming out. They had a booth at the kickoff battle in Vegas. You know, try to get them acquainted with the cornhole world. We're going to do about, you know, 5, 6, 7 events this year with together with LB Jerky Co. So they came out. We had a good time, made some beef jerky, met a lot of people, you know, showed off the product. Everybody seemed to really enjoy it. So that was nice. I felt good. You know, I don't want to be setting up shit that's going to flop. No one wants to do that. You know, no one's trying to flop, bro. Here's a little segment I want to start doing on this show, and it's called I Apologize. I just want to apologize for shit to certain people. I'm just going to tell a story about where I probably was an asshole and I shouldn't have done that looking back in the moment, though it was funny. But I want to say I apologize to those people. And today's apology goes out to my Mormon homie, Mike, in Yuma, Arizona. He used to live in Bardo Oaks, which was like the most gangsterest, biggest houses of the whole school all lived in Bardo Oaks, bro. They live up the street from me. I live in the neighborhood over. I wasn't in Bardo Oaks. We lived in a nice neighborhood, but we didn't live in Bardo Oaks. And there was a little time there where I started kicking it with some Mormon homies. And they all wanted to go see Rudy. Rudy was in the theaters, man. And I was down. I was already had helping him. I had been going over to the house helping with a float for a week or so, just after school, go roll over, help work on the float, you know. And then they said, hey, let's go see Rudy on Sunday. I wanted to see Rudy. I'm a big football guy, you know, at this point, junior high. No, this is high school, the ninth grade. Or whatever, I think it was ninth grade. And I was new to Yuma. You know, I had just moved there from South Carolina, previously California. So the Mormon homies invite me, and we all go to watch Rudy. And we're all pumped, man. Everybody was all pumped about Notre Dame and seeing Rudy Rudiger fucking make the squad. And then right at the end of Rudy, when it gets all emotional and fools are getting teared up, I started laughing really loud or something. I just did some asshole shit. I was like, that's fucking hilarious. And I kind of ruined the moment for them, definitely for Michael. And I just want to say, Mike, I apologize, man, for ruining Rudy for you, bro. I know that was a good, wholesome story, and you were a good Mormon kid, man, there in Bardo Oaks, Yuma, Arizona, 94 probably. And my stupid ass rolled in there with my little jokey jokes and fucking was cracking up at the end. I guess it shows that I was kind of emotionally detached at the moment, at that point in my life, because obviously that was in a very emotional scene there. They're in Rudy, and I couldn't relate to the emotion. I guess the trauma I have already experienced at that point in my life really numbed me up good. And it really showed itself during the end of Rudy when everybody was all emotional and crying, and I'm laughing. And I remember him saying, you ruined the movie, man. And I think that was probably like right around the last time I hung out with the Mormon kids. And I just, again, man, I'm sorry, Mike, man. That was on me, buddy. My bad, bro. My bad. All right, well, you know, I'm glad I got that off my chest. You know, it's good to get stuff like that off your chest. I was a youngster, you know. I didn't know any better. I probably did, but I didn't think about it in the moment, so. This is me just, I'm just bringing it back, you know what I mean? Trying to make old wrongs right. Did I ever tell you guys that I taught myself how to do backflips off a fence? In fifth grade, my buddy Jesse down the street from me, and when I lived in La Puente, California, that's where I was born. My buddy Jesse had like this three-foot fence, I'd say. Maybe 4-foot fence. I don't know. I wanted to do a backflip off that fence, the corner so bad on his soft grass. I wanted to do it when cars went by. I thought, man, if I could just start doing backflips when cars go by, it would be the best shit ever. And then one day I just willed it, and I said, woo. The cars were coming. I leaned in, and I went full backflip off the fence, bro, and landed it. I was the most excited. That's probably one of my most exciting moments of my life, I think, if I think about it. Like, if you compare to, like, relative to where you were in your life. Like, fifth grade me just taught myself how to do a backflip. And I wanted to do it in front of people when they drove by. So I guess the showmanship's always been there. I remember I did the backflip. Jesse couldn't believe it, bro. No one taught. I just said, launch. I just sent it. And I did the backflip, and I landed it. And then I did about 46 in a row. Then I started to get a little cocky with it. One time I landed like face first, like a full body, like a belly flop. That was the only time, really. And then from then on, it was just backflips everywhere, bro. Every pool was a backflip. Didn't matter if it was a diving board backflip, high dive backflips. And I think that's just how it works. You just got to set the mark and enforce it. You know what I mean? Listen, that's what my grandma always taught me, you know? You set a mark and you enforce it. That's it. You draw a line, and that line you do not cross back over once you've went over it. All right, that's one too many
It's one too many metaphors, I think. I think I'm out-metaphored myself. And there's a strong chance that I mess up. You know, that's not even be a metaphor. But again, this whole episode's a metaphor. I mean, right? You listening, it's a metaphor. It's all metaphoric. I mean, metaphorically speaking, this is what the word was written for. It's the metaphor of all of this. What's a bigger war? What's a bigger battle brewing right now? Is it Kanye, Pete Davidson? Or is it Russia, Ukraine, U.S., Europe, China? I don't know, man. That's a close one, bro. I think Kanye needs to calm down. I mean, I understand why he's upset. 10 minutes after he left, his lady replaced him with Pete Davidson. Now he's over there fucking playing catch with little Kanye kids and shit. I mean, that's got to feel terrible. But you still got to control your shit, man. He got 48 million followers or some shit. You're out here telling people you're going to handle it? Let me tell you this. Kanye ain't going to handle nothing. Okay? He can pay somebody to handle it, but he ain't going to do shit. He can't even throw a punch. He's a bitch. What's he, 5'9", 160? What's he going to do? Even if you gave him boxing gloves, it would just expose him as a clown that can't fight. Like, stick to music, my man. I just feel like at what level you just don't go public like that hardcore, like on your Instagram like that, bro. It's not, this ain't a Pete Davidson is a variable here, man. It's just a place for you to direct your anger when that anger really ain't at Pete. It's at whoever would step into that shoes, whoever it was, whether it was Pete Davidson or somebody else. I know if you're Kanye, you're probably like, God damn, bro, that's who you're going to blow after me. Because, you know, he's thinking musically and where he's at, you know, and all financially and business-wise. But at the end of the day, man, just don't forget date nights, dog. Date nights are important, man. Ask Kanye. Like, you have to go on dates with your lady. You can't just give her a pair of your awesome shoes and then be like, all right, that's good. Like, you got to go on dates, bro. You should have... I want to see Kanye pushing a fucking stroller. I don't care if those kids are old enough to not be in one. Do the wagon, bro. You should have been pulling Kanye. Kanye should have been pulling them kids and Kim in a goddamn in a basket around Santa Monica, bro. But I got to be honest, that shit is insanity. He's got him all handle it from here on Instagram. Because Pete Davidson's got to have get some bodyguards, at least one, right? How do you not get it? It's a write-off, right? I'm sure it's a write-off. It's a business expense. If I'm Pete Davidson, I'm definitely getting security, bro. I'll work. Hey, Pete Davidson, I'll work security for you part-time, man. I fought in 2 rough and rowdies, bro. I can fucking square off if you need me to. I don't have a sealed weapons license or a concealed weapons license, but whatever, man, you know. I could carry around a BB gun, maybe I'll get a BB gun that's been modified to go fully auto. That's still gonna fuck people up. I'm not gonna kill nobody, but at least I'll fuck them up, you know. With that gun, I wouldn't mind rolling around 2 days a week in a bulletproof vest. That's what I'm trying to say. You know, like those clean ass ones, special. I don't know. Do I want to go special, like special forces security, or do I want to go suit security? Because at this point, I don't know which one's more needed. Maybe that's what I'll do. I'll as a side gig. Maybe I'll just get to buy a Hummer, and then I'll run a security staff of one, me. And I get to roll around town in a bulletproof vest, bro, with the cargo pants, with the belt and all that, and the glasses, the scruff. I won't shave my neck for a week or two. Fucking hop out. Just talk to my lady via radio. We already got the two-way radios in the house. All I got to do is clip it on my bulletproof vest, bro. And it's on. That could be me. That could be my security unit right there. But Jesus, Pete Davis has said nothing back. And I was talking to somebody about it today. And they're like, you should say something. I said, I don't think he should. And I don't think his lady wants him to. Kim. Because I know right now, if this shit was happening, my lady would be like, do not say shit. Okay? Like, obviously, you just took me from him. Like, like if that was the scenario. Well, I mean, he could end it in one thing. Like, it's the easiest comeback in history. He just, that's why it's important to hold. You got to hold that in. He already got him. He's over there hanging out with his kids and shit, playing cornhole. They're playing doubles over at Kim's house. They got the Yeezy cornhole bags. Little Northwest, which ironically she does play on the upper left-hand side of the on the boards on doubles. From what I understand, her PPR is like 9 right now. And Pete Davidson, they're just playing cornhole with Kanye's kids and Kim and shit. They're all in there just riding around on electric skateboards and stuff. Banging around in her fucking Rolls Royce. Oh. I wish we really knew the truth. Like, did he just have, was he just sending it in? Is that what happened? Was he just sending it in, not being a good husband? Because it's pretty tough to, like, leave your, if you have 3 kids with somebody, they're all little, it's tough to leave. That's a tough leave. He must have really been just really fucking up. I mean, when that's the woman that decides to have 3 children with you, she got to think she's pretty committed. He must have just come with that wacko shit he's got going sometimes, man. Everybody thinks it's medication. It could be. I mean, there's so many pills for so much stuff now. Not to mention, you know, we got the Illuminati probably got a hold of their hands on him. I mean, once the Illuminati gets you, that's a wrap. They do all the brain stuff to you, and then you have to be on the pills. And then when they take you off the pills, when they stop prescribing them to you, because that's what they do, how do I know? Don't worry about what I know. I used to live in California. I have loose Illuminati connections. Everybody knows that. I'm what some say Illuminati adjacent. See, the best part is, even if it's true or false, you don't know, because if I was Illuminati adjacent and I did know these things, then you'd be like, this guy's a fucking idiot. He's not Illuminati adjacent. But really, I am Illuminati adjacent. But you would assume that anybody adjacent to the Illuminati wouldn't even fucking bring it up. You got to be a wacko to do that. Yeah, guess what? Do I or do I not have those adjacent, you know, connections? You don't know. We'll never know. I'll tell you what I do know. It's time to end this episode. This is a wrap. This is episode 4. So thanks for listening. I got some really good interviews coming up. Pretty pumped about that. We got some fun stuff happening here. Consistently writing dumb stuff. Make sure you guys go follow $20 Chef on YouTube or Twitter or Instagram or any of that. I really appreciate you guys. And I'll catch you next one. Peace out.